With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's MyLifeInABook.com. with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Aaron and your life and mine. My hair may be blonde, but my roots are all about family.
I may not be homeless, but I damn sure am missing a few teeth.
You know, my favorite content. It's homeless, but not toothless. It will never. And I got messages from people who were like, can you believe that, like, people were laughing? And I was like, I am those people. What are we talking about? I was
like, what is this? Like, what? Who? What? It's because it kind of makes it seem like no matter what, we're going to ignore one of these problems. So it's like, right. Okay, I'm just at home nodding my head along with it. Let's go with it. Okay.
It is a wild take. I mean, listen, dental care is very important.
Yes.
But so is, you know, having a place to stay.
Yes.
And it does feel like this dentist had a concept. And, you know, God love a dreamer. But I just don't know. I'm not quite sure.
It's very, you know what? When I picture a charity like this, I go, what city could this exist in? And then I go, probably Beverly Hills. I think that's where that belongs. So it doesn't make sense, but it makes all of the sense, if that makes sense.
My favorite part of it is Dorit realizing in real time that when these people are making fun of the charity, it will somehow find its way back to Sharon Stone. Yeah. So when Dorit is like, this is a serious charity, what she's thinking in her head is, Sharon Stone knocked on my motherfucking door and you bitches are not going to ruin this for me. Okay.
Yes.
Casino. a place that PK knows well. She is not, yes. Nothing is going to stand in the way of her burgeoning friendship with Sharon S.
I feel like the other half of her brain was like, you know what? This is really hurting my chances to be a spokeswoman for Jamie Lee Curtis now. Like, you guys can't do this. Let's calm down. We're not going to talk about the charity.
Oh my God. You know what, guys? I'm already feeling hot and cold, so we might as well get started. It's Andy's Girls. It's episode 337, Jesus fucking Christ. And I'm so excited to have a new guest on the People's People's Couch. You know him as host of Reality and Comics 2, which is an interesting combination. Welcome to Andy's Girls, Kendrick Tucker. Kendrick, how are you?
I am amazing now that I'm here. I'm so excited to be here. I feel like we've just been like dancing in the DMs and just like having the best time talking housewives and stuff. So it's like we've made it official. This is our first date. This is fun.
This is our first date. I do have to say our first date, our precursor first date was a little bit of a movie night because I did actually watch... let me just say, I don't know a ton about comics and action movies and Marvel and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I have seen the Christopher Nolan Batman trilogy 9 million times, especially the last movie in the trilogy. It's like truly a genuine favorite movie, even though I don't understand who any of these people are.
People don't give it enough credit. It's, you know, they only focus on The Dark Knight, but like Bane was that was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. And I, even though I'm literally about to fuck up the title, was it The Dark Knight Rises or The Dark Knight Also Rises?
Just Rises.
Just Rises. Okay. Mm-hmm. I always add also, and that's absolutely wrong. But I'm like obsessed with like the whole thing and the whole and whatever that is. Like, I'm actually into it. But I do have to say that I just watched Spider-Man Far From
Home. Oh, and so the one where they're in Europe?
Sure, I was giving a solid 30% attention, and I was watching it because I heard, I don't even know if this is a spoiler, but spoiler if you haven't seen Spider-Man Far From Home, that the other spider people joined, and I was curious to see how that would pan out, and I thought that was so cute, but I don't understand anything that happened.
Wait, this is going to kill you because you actually watched Spider-Man No Way Home.
The is names are also so- Far Home?
Yes, there's a homecoming, a Far From Home, and no, then a No Way
Home.
No, I hate
that. I had no idea. I wouldn't have watched had I known. I wouldn't have watched. I wouldn't have done it.
I tried to get her to sit down, like, watch them with me. When I told her the title, she's like, oh, no, I'm out because I will never remember this ever again. So I'm like, fine, that's fair. Fair criticism.
How does that series, like, I know my generation, spiritually mid-20s plus, I know, I remember other Spider-Men. Mm-hmm. How does this current one measure up amongst the community?
They love them. They love Tom Holland as Spider-Man. This last movie, the one that you watched, made them really appreciate Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man 2, because they did not, despite what people say, they did not appreciate him during his time. So now they love him, and it's like making them watch, like, now the old ones are on Netflix now. They've popped back up, and, you know, it's all good stuff. So he helped kind of like this resurgence of people like getting to know the ones that we grew up with. So it's good. Mm-hmm. Good stuff.
If you had to identify yourself by one community, comics or Bravo Housewives, which do you feel more connected to? That's such an unfair question, but welcome to Andy's Girls.
Oh, that's such a good question. You know what? I've been such an X-Men fan growing up that I love, like, there was so many like hidden meanings behind like the shows and the comics and stuff like that, because they were like the ones that, even though they were superheroes like putting their necks out there, they were the ones that like people were still afraid of, and not like, you know, it wasn't Captain America or Iron Man. It's like, oh, that big, you know, blue giant thing is gonna help me. And so it was like kind of like hidden like critiques on like the LGBTQ community, the Black community during the civil rights, because that's when they started. So I've always loved them, especially for that. Ooh, but I'm also, equally as much as I love that, I'm just as much chaotic as some of these housewives are. So I don't know if you know, but you've probably seen me rant about it in my stories like a million times, but like, I love a good reality TV villain. Like, it's my jam. I do. I love it. And so, like, I feel like it must have come from my childhood, because I always was the one that was like, you know what? Maybe the Joker is just misunderstood. Like, maybe they just don't appreciate this guy. Oh. So, like, you might have to do an episode like The Psychology of Kendrick, because I don't know what that implies about me, but here we are.
That's so interesting. And in the Housewives universe, who are some of your favorite villains?
Oh my God. So I'm like, I'm obsessed with like the Green Eyed Bandits. Like I know they're in the wrong all of the time, but like, I just love the wrong and the mess that they create. I love Candace Dillard. Like these, like even like Kenya Moore, like it's these people, like they, I don't know. They speak to me. I just like, I'm like, leave them alone. I don't know. I just, I feel for them. I like them.
I feel like the interesting thing of that trio, mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot to say about Candace, but when it comes to like the Green Eye Bandits, it's hard for me to even consider them villains because they're so fucking likable. Same. I just think they're so likable.
Their home lives are like so, it just makes you like, the kids make you love them more. It's, I didn't consider them villains until I got online and I was reading other people's comments. I was like, oh. But that happens most times when I'm watching reality TV. Like, I'm like, oh, nowadays I'm like, okay, that's someone I love. They must be the villain of this story. Like, I must just be, like, retelling this in my own mind. So I got to be checked a lot of the time.
And with Kenya, that's such an interesting pick. I mean, Kenya's in my Housewives top five.
Oh, yes.
I think she's, there's, like, a sense of, for me, even in processing it, rewriting what it means to be a villain in my head, because there's such an obvious negative connotation, but there's so much power in that kind of role. How does it affect you when the unlikability of a villain archetype on Housewives changes?
Oh, so I'm the person, I do have to tell everyone all the time, I consider myself like one of the fairest people on the planet. So like, I'm the person, I do, like, I love the mess you keep up, but when you're wrong, you're wrong. Like, I am conscious enough to like say that you're wrong in that. So we're witnessing Kenya Moore like go through this season of kind of like, she's fun Kenya Moore. She's not necessarily the one that keeps up the mess now that it seems like it's solely transferred to Marlo, and she is more than happy to take on the job. Yes. So, you know, she's doing what she does, and I kind of love it. So I know that stays between us. So I'm like, it's such a weird, you know, feeling when the person that you thought was the villain all this time is, okay, wait, let me bounce something kind of back at you, because one of my top five all time who I've always loved and who kept me kind of from loving Kenya for so long, but then I finally was like, okay, I can't have my love for this woman anymore. Portia Williams. Do we consider her a villain nowadays, or is she still one of the heroes that we champion for? I don't know.
I mean, it's hard because I didn't watch the spinoff.
Okay, then you were saved. I watched it. I loved the mess.
I get to hide from it. Like, honestly, like, it's sort of a self-protective manipulative mechanism that I can be like, oh, I didn't watch it, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Smart, because I was the person online. I'm like, okay, they were like, they know how much I love Portia, so they were like, every single week, are you defending her? I'm like, no, I'm not defending her. I just think it's entertainment. Like, I'm loving the show. The show was a pure mess. It was such a mess that I really do hope they get a season two, because I need to unpack this mess even more. It's what, you know, have you ever seen like when you get introduced to like a character's family and then you kind of understand like, oh, okay, like you make a lot more sense now that I see who's been around you your entire life. That's the case with Portia, because the entire family just a tad bit unhinged, kind of like she is, and you get the explosive reactions and everything. So I almost want to tell you to go back and watch it one day, but I also like the veil that you have around yourself to where you can kind of, you know, you can say I've never seen it.
I mean, I kind of do like, I like the fact, I heard it was a shit show, to be honest.
Absolutely.
And I'm okay not experiencing it, because I don't know that I would like consider it good TV, number one. Mm-hmm. But number two, I am able to be like, well, I don't know what really happened. I've only seen a couple clips. So there we go.
Ooh, it's rough, but I still consider myself, she's still in my like my top. I love Portia. She's like, I need to do like a definitive Housewives ranking. I've kind of adopted the model of, you know, your starting five, your lineup, to where, you know, you can sub someone out when they have a bad season. We'll just put you on the bench and then we'll bring someone else in. So like, usually the Green Eye Bandits, they're there for life. Kenya Moore kind of has a place in there. It's only been three seasons, but boy, oh boy, do I love Garcelle. Like, I can't,
oh,
you know.
Oh my God, I know.
And then we get into like the icons that have been doing it for so long. They kind of like revolutionized the franchise. I try not to include them so much, like the Nene's, the Teresa's, the Bethany's, because I don't know how everyone feels about Bethany, but I get in a little trouble for that too. But, you know, I try to include them when I talk, you know, just because they're always on the Mount Rushmore.
Right.
So
of course.
I try to, you know, give you other people, but I don't know. Portia's still up there for me. It's a mess. It's a mess. I know it, people, but it was one that I watched every Sunday. I can't lie.
How did Simon come across on the show?
Strangely enough, super likable.
Really?
Of the entire cast, he was hands down the most grounded person on the show. Like, even during, like, there was a big, like, explosive fight during, I think it was, like, episode either six or the last one. It was somewhere, like, because I think there were only, like, seven or eight episodes. So, I think it was one of those last two episodes. But even then, like, Dennis was, like, acting wild. Portia was acting wild.
Dennis
was a mess because his mom was involved and everything. It's a mess. But like Simon was literally the one standing behind them like, you guys, let's just talk about this later. This isn't the appropriate setting. We've got to kind of, you know, calm down first, cooler heads. And it was very shocking because we all kind of want to come in as being like, oh my God, you're the spawn of Satan. And, you know, what do we think of you? But then like, once again, it kind of shows you like her family, it kind of making him seem like this angel guy. It's like, oh boy.
Wow. Mm. That is so surprising to me.
Mm-hmm. It's weird.
Can I ask you, this is so interesting because I love that your interest and your passion for certain housewives personalities, and you're bringing up some really famous housewives archetypes, the Mount Rushmore, as it were, because she's been so much in the news lately and in the hair. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on Teresa v. Melissa?
Okay. the Jersey fandom is one that I literally, like, I post my memes, my funny memes. I'm just like, okay, here you go. And then I back away. Because the Jersey fandom is kind of intense. It's a different beast. Like, they're pretty rowdy sometimes. So, I've always been of the camp that I'm more of a tree hugger than a Melissa Gorga fan. Just because... I'm that person, if you know my favorite kind of housewives, then you know I'm the person that, like, you don't necessarily, you're not right in the situation, but you, like, consciously try to drive the story forward so that we're not stuck in the same thing for so long. And so I feel like Jersey really kind of hinges every season on Teresa, whether she's there or not. Like, we're not going to see it without Teresa because what might we, you know... I don't know what that would even look like. So I always just kind of give it to Teresa, like, no matter what. Even though, once again, I try to be fair, I'm more than conscious enough to recognize that 9 out of 10 situations, Teresa's wrong. She is. We know this. That's not like a, you know, there wasn't a Shakespearean line. Like, we know this. We all know this. But I just, for entertainment value's sake, I just appreciate these kind of characters so much that I usually will keep it in the context of the show and be like, she's kind of moving it forward, so I'm okay with the mess that she's keeping up.
That's so interesting because when it comes to moving the story forward, regardless of how you feel about a specific housewife, I can't help but think about some shit that Lisa Rinna has posted on social media, even maybe today, that I only saw because of reposting, because that fucking woman blocked me, which is so annoying, for defending Garcelle. I got motherfucking blocked.
Oh my God.
Which is the worst thing that can happen to a content creator, because then I can't actually access her content. I'm so pissed about it every day.
She's one of the ones that I do not like. There are certain housewives, there are so many that I do follow. Like, I try to follow every single one so I can keep up.
Oh, wow.
But there are certain ones when I see, like, so much behavior so often, I'm like, okay, you, for my own mental health, you've got to get out of here. Like, I can't keep this. There was a point where, like, she was posting, like, 2 dance videos a day. And then it got to the point where it became a lot. So I was like, okay, I've got to tap out of this. And then the on-the-show behavior plus the stuff that I was seeing reposted, I was like, okay, I'm glad I bowed out when I did, because I don't know if I can handle this Lisa Rinna. I can't do that.
Well, I find that really interesting, especially in light of a video that she posted, I think, today. But again, couldn't really tell you for sure because I can't actually access her channels. But it was some video where she says something along the lines of, like, people are too sensitive. Like, the way that you're coming after me, I was meaner in seasons past. And I'm curious for your reaction to that, noting that your choices and your interests lie in a certain sensibility about respecting villains. Not every villain, but mm-hmm. I'm curious for what your reaction is to what Lisa said.
So usually for me, I'm glad you asked me this because there is a fine line for me.
Yes.
So a lot of people ask me, they're like, oh, so you must love like a Lisa Rinna or a this person or that person. And I'm like, no, I actually don't, because the villains that I do love, I feel like are instrumental to everything going on every single time. So like every season, you can kind of point out what Kenya does. Kenya, no matter what, she's going to be there. She's going to ask the questions on camera that others might shy away from.
Yep.
She's going to keep it going. Green Eye Bat, Giselle Bryant.
Oh my God.
If she was not there to drive the Potomac ship, that would be an entirely different show. Oof. So it's, you know, but I feel like Lisa Rinna has truly lost herself on camera. I used to love Lisa Rinna, to be honest. I used to love her, but these past couple seasons, she's truly, I don't know what character she's become, but I almost feel like this might seem like the most random comparison.
Can't
wait. But I feel like she's going the Dorinda route, whereas I feel like Dorinda let the fans craft her on-screen personality to where I feel like they loved like some of the mean stuff she would say early on. And so like it started to intensify as the seasons went on to the point where it got so mean that they turned on her. I feel like Lisa Rinna sees people saying, like, saw people for a certain time saying, like, yeah, own it, and doing her catchphrases. And, you know, she was the character that you could mimic. And they were all such characters like, you know, Erica Jane and, you know, Kathy. You can imitate everyone. But it's gotten to the point where Lisa Rinna, her personality is so unrecognizable. And it feels like everything she does is a stunt. So it's like, I don't want to be able to tell that you're driving the ship. I want you to do it naturally. I want you to have the personality type where when I look back, like after so many episodes and I see a conflict arise, I think back like, oh my God, that was because Giselle said this at the dinner with Ashley, and it's all ricocheted into this, like that kind of stuff. But I don't know. One of the things that drives me the most crazy is, we'll take Sutton and Lisa Rinna for example. I hate it when two people get together and every time they get together, it's kumbaya. Oh my God, I love you. I don't know why we fight so much. Let's stop this. But then when that person gets an audience, it's an entirely different story. And I feel like that's what Lisa Rinna does a lot of the time. And so it's like, are we playing up for cameras? Like, what are we doing? At that point, it feels like to me that you've maybe overstayed your welcome on the show. Like, maybe you just need to kind of explore other avenues because it's becoming way too scripted for you. Like you produce yourself, you produce the show. Let's move away from that, because we have so many people on here that are so natural in front of the camera that you doing all of this almost hinders them sometimes.
So many good points. No, I love it. But and from Rinna's perspective of, there's just a sensitivity chip that's like, it's not that it's missing, it's that it's an overdrive, according to Rinna. And people that I'm seeing on social agree with her. What's your response to this sense? It's not so much sensitivity, it's really effectiveness.
So my kind of philosophy is, people use the sensitivity card when they don't like being held accountable for their bad actions. So I feel like Lisa Rinna is one where if she could, she would still be like spreading rumors about Kim Richards, like drug use and like this kind of stuff. If she could.
Nearly dying. She literally said she's on death's door.
Yes. I feel like she would still be doing it if she could. And it's like, first of all, we can't like champion like people, you know, calling out people like Andrew Tate and all this kind of stuff, like these hateful people online, but then let Lisa Rinna run amok in the way that like she runs amok sometimes. I know that's a weird comparison between the two.
That but, is
like,
a wild comparison, but keep going.
I know. You know, okay. I grab from everywhere.
I'm gonna sip my tea.
But she, I feel like she, like her brand of like being a reality star, is almost to the point where now it's she's scared of some people on the show, but she targets the weaker people in a sense. Not weaker, but ones that she doesn't think will put up much of a fight. Mm-hmm. And so if you were to have like this much smoke with like a Garcelle, then maybe, or it's someone in your own crew, if you had this much smoke with calling out Erica Jayne or calling out Kyle Richards when they do wrong, then fine. I'd be totally okay with Lisa Rinna sticking around. But I hate the like leaning on, oh, everyone's so sensitive now, when it's like, no, we're not sensitive. Everyone has social media. People are able to like actually voice why they think you're a sucky person. Like, it's not that we're sensitive. It's just that like, no, more people are telling you, hey, that's a terrible reaction to something. That's a horrible way of like treating other people. How about we stop that? And then you just being like, oh no, you're all just too sensitive. So to me, there's no talking to you. I'm okay with the villain being there if they like want to do their redemption arc at some point, but I don't feel like she ever wants to move into that lane. I feel like she's totally comfortable in the lane she's in, and it's one that nobody is really entertained with anymore.
Do you think that she has truly changed as a person over the course of the last couple seasons? Or is it that she's so dependent on the show now that has kind of seeped into her marrow in a way that's not necessarily productive, but sort of inevitable?
Yes, absolutely. The show has completely changed her. And it changes a lot of people. You know, like people, you know, once they see like the check clear from Bravo,
of course, you know how could it not?
And right, the fame, they're like, oh God, you know,
I've got absolutely
something in savings now. Like, that's amazing. I love that. So I don't have to do Depends commercials anymore. This is great.
Oh my God, I'll shit in a diaper for a lot less than a mil. You just let me know. Yeah,
exactly. And so like we expected to change you, but like it feels like she's completely like, I still see Giselle Bryant season 1 is still Giselle Bryant season 7.
Absolutely.
It just might be a more heightened version of herself because she knows like what her role is on the show. She knows what she wants to do, et cetera, et cetera. Lisa Rinna, I genuinely can't pin down who she is anymore. And I feel like it gets to the point where I always say the worst place you can be is like, you know, I feel like to be a forgettable character is a sin in itself, and like that's someone that probably won't last too long. But to then become someone who we don't know how to process you at all is also a dangerous place to be. And I don't know if I can process her in any regard anymore. The only way I now only see her is like a parrot for Erica, almost. Like Erica comes to a scene, she shows out, and then she has Lisa Rinna right there saying, yeah, because you did that, why do you do that, you know, that kind of. And it's like, well, you used to be the one that would like help drive the scenes, but now you're the person that's completely in the background egging on the next villain, egging on your replacement, which is weird. But I mean, if you like it, I love it. I don't know.
I mean, I see that coming out a lot with everything and the way that she's trying to leverage Diana's entry into the show to fuck with Garcelle, where it's like, okay, it gets so complicated, and it feels not distorted, but it feels odd for me to even try to like process aloud the ways that she's discussing her experience processing grief on the show versus like actively processing grief on the show and everything that comes with it. But the way that she kind of turned, not even kind of, the way that she turned to Garcelle in that moment and was like, are you hearing her? Where she was trying to school Garcelle in how to listen to and or have empathy for Diana. I thought it was, I don't know, it's like a hard thing because I don't appreciate it as a moment, but like I wish I did, where I'm just watching this person and I just wonder, like, do you believe? I don't think that Rinna believes it, but that's not entertaining enough anymore.
Right. It's weird because, so that would be like a great moment if we were seeing her change like throughout the season.
Right.
But literally moments before that, she was shouting across the table at Sutton. So it's like, do you hear her? No, I don't hear her because you're screaming over her. I can't hear what she's saying. So it's like, I feel like the reason Diana really bit herself like kind of in the foot with this is she came on, and the way it was presented to the fans, I feel like we now have had reality TV in front of us for so long mm-hmm. that the way we gauge certain things now is really, it really depends on how you edit the situation. It might not be mm-hmm. true, might not. We have a great level of discernment, but certain things, the way they're presented to us, we don't know, you know, it leaves a funny taste in our mouth. Mm-hmm. So when Diana came, we saw her at this, what was it? Harry Hamlin's birthday party. And she's just sitting there. And the way they made it seem was, even though they didn't say it in so many words, it felt like her role in this situation was to say how often Lisa Rinna and Harry Hamlin come to the foundation, come to this. They're always invited. They always have a table. So they, it almost like they were, she was set up for failure because clearly most of the fans are Team Garcelle/Sutton. Like that's just kind of the way it is. When you put in this absolutely new person and it feels like they're doing someone else's bidding, wrong place to be. Because now everything you do going forward, we're kind of looking at you a little side-eyed. Like, mm-hmm. who's saying this? Is it you or is it actually Lisa Rinna or Erica Jane or whoever it is that you're vacationing with and then going to the airport and getting getting mm-hmm. You know, some paperwork. So,
and I feel like that's the kind of breakdown for a lot of listener, a lot of, yeah, maybe AGs or a lot of just in general Housewives mm-hmm. viewers, which was a moment that Garcelle unpacked, I think, on the last episode when she was describing her friendship with and support of Sutton in saying, you know, if someone was an asshole to my friend or an asshole to anyone, I wouldn't want to be friends with that person. And yet we're watching this like very strange dance between Erica and the rest of the Fox Force and then anyone outside of that, which is watching Erica consistently misbehave and then say it was only three times, as if like that's in any way an indicator of like a person's goodness because it was less than four.
Right.
But we're watching this woman treat other people in a way that's like incredibly inappropriate mm-hmm. and like just genuinely poorly. And their defense of her versus their lack of understanding or nuance around Sutton is just so,
it's jarring. It's
jarring. The mm-hmm. measurement scale inequity is incredibly jarring. And that's about mm-hmm. Sutton, let alone the ways that they discuss and criticize Garcelle.
Right. It's a lot. And I feel like what gets lost, going back to like the Garcelle saying that, you know, why would I want to be friends with someone?
Right.
If you're treating her terribly. It's also one of the things that gets lost is, okay, Erica, it might have been three times, but one of those three times, you cursed out my son.
Right.
So, like, why would I not? It feels natural for me that the next logical step for Garcelle is, I've never seen her like this. Why is she acting this way? The only thing that I see as a new factor is the constant drinking that I'm seeing at these parties right. or on the boat and stuff like that. So, it doesn't seem like a stretch for me for Garcelle to sit and say, do you think Erica is like exhibiting any kind of problem since like now she's escalated to cursing out my child at a party that they were allowed at? So it wasn't like an adult only party where it was, you know, like everyone's drinking, ruckus, having a good time, but like my family and kids, coworkers, like everyone mm-hmm. was here, and the way you acted was extremely inappropriate. So my interactions with you may be entirely different than they are with Sutton, but Sutton has only treated my child with respect. Sutton only treats me well. Like, I can't mm-hmm. say the same for everyone else in this group. So their arguments to me are so lopsided because it's like they're purposely choosing to, like, you get like a syllabus from your professor and you're just like choosing to say, you know what, I'll show up for that final exam, and you don't realize that like showing up for class or participation is like 75% of the grade and you're still expecting to pass. It's weird.
It is. And it also makes me think even a little bit of Garcelle's conversations with Crystal, where she's like, I want you to tell me exactly what Sutton said because I consider this person a friend. And if she's saying things that are very dark and problematic, I feel like I have the right to know that because I want to be able to make my own determination of the ways that I trust and respect this person and have them in my life. Because to Garcelle, I think that friendship to her is in many ways the way a lot of us look at friendship, as a mm-hmm. reflection of our own selves, where, yes. and plus you add in TV, where it's like this person is representing in some ways the choices that I have made to have them in my life. So if someone is doing something that goes counter to that, I feel like I have the right to know what that is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's something that's going to be purposely lost on 50% of this cast. Because if they had to admit that, like, one of their own was incorrect, they know that that's a division they can't come back from. Because I feel like the Fox Sports 5, no matter what the situation, they feel like they need to be in 100% support of each other, 100% defense of that person, as opposed to the other group. Like, they're gonna, they know that it's like, they treat every scene as if it's a war zone, and they have to come in with their, like, you know she cursed out your child, I know this and that, but I'm also gonna laugh with my husband about it with another member of the Fox Force 5, because you're not in this alliance. And I'm so glad that Garcelle, one of the reasons she's such a great housewife is because it almost feels like you, the viewer of the show, is on the show, because she says for the first time, I feel like, in Beverly Hills history, she's saying exactly what we're saying. They like spend so much time kind of almost creating every narrative and every scene on the show, to where we finally have someone that's like, that doesn't make sense. Why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? Why are you acting like that? And it's what we've been shouting at our screens for so long. So for them to, like, I'm so glad she finally had that moment of saying, you know what? I know Erica. I know that you know all of them much more than you know me. I know that you say it every time. That's the way you present to all of us. So don't act like Sutton is the reason I can't get close to you. You created a barrier the entire time I've been on this show, and you've let me know this is the Cool Girls Club. You're not in it.
Paris is always a good idea, and when I schlep on over to Europe, to my favorite city in the world, I bring with me a few important phrases that I have learned from housewives. C'est bon, chic c'est la vie. Je m'appelle the Countess, n'est-ce pas, Luann? And while those key phrases are important when speaking to any French bravoholic, for other matters of life, that's where Rosetta Stone comes in. Rosetta Stone is the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered, including, of course, French. It features fast language acquisition. It immerses you in so many ways. There's no English translations, so you really learn to speak, to listen, and to think in that language. It's an intuitive process. You pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. J'adore Chris Manzo. Et toi? There's a speech recognition filter which gives you feedback on your pronunciation. It's convenient with desktop and app options, and it's an amazing value. Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership has all 25 languages for any and all trips and language needs in life. That's lifetime access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, AGs can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. Today. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo. And when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth. And when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York, where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this, violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
My God, that is, I mean, absolutely 1,000% cosign. And it's an odd experience for me to even think about this because last night I slept on the couch in my living room. There was a, thank you. It was not as comfortable as I was thinking it would be when I brought out my comforter. But I was a witness to a possible a murder situation that was not actually a murder against a bird. There was a pigeon that I discussed on my social media. Yes. I thought that a pigeon was trapped in my air conditioning unit. It turns out it was just up to some interesting stuff underneath the unit, but as a result, didn't want to turn on my AC and possibly inadvertently murder this bird. So I spent the night on my couch before my beloved building uncle Fabio, my super love of my life, came over this morning to assure me that the bird was not in fact trapped in my air conditioning unit. It was just screaming like it was being murdered.
I've been enthralled in this story on social media. Oh, I just want you to know. It's been thrilling
Thank
to me.
Thank you. It has been a trauma. I was like, when Fabio arrived, because yesterday he was sending me bird emoji. He was like, there's no bird being murdered. They're there. Things are happening, but like, it's not inside your air conditioning unit. And I was like, Fabio, this hashtag, this is a crisis. Like, we see each other. There is a bird that is literally being butchered inside, because all I could hear was like the screaming. And I think that was just, you know, people have different ways of expressing love. And I think that there was another bird that was there. And I think that there was something that was happening and I couldn't actually see outside the unit, which is of course street facing. So I was like, I don't want people to die if I try to take down this AC, but also I don't want the bird to die either. Anyway, so I spent the night on my couch, hiding from my bedroom and the potential crime in play. But I decided, oddly enough, to watch a couple random episodes of BH season 10 and like the Kyle argument at Denise's barbecue and some other shit. And I was thinking to myself, my God, I forgot this tension that exists and how undone Kyle was and how much I enjoyed that, I think, in the moment. And certainly now that she felt uncomfortable and somewhat awkward, and how important it is as a Kyle fan to see Kyle upset. Like, that's genuinely very important, for the health of the show. But then as the episodes went along, I was like, oh, okay, now I remember. This is why it needs to stop. Pre-Brandy reveal, because the Fox Force assembled against Denise in such a way, when even when Denise was saying, there is a reason my kids aren't at this other barbecue event, because I was uncomfortable with what you guys were talking about in front of my children and their friends. Mm-hmm. And the way that the Fox Force understood what she was saying and then gaslit and manipulated the absolute fuck out of her,
yep,
was so frustrating. Mm-hmm. And then I remember what's happening this season and I'm like, okay, so we just learned the wrong lessons from this, because prior to, or the right lessons, in order to protect myself so that I won't be targeted, I'm just going to be a part of this seemingly foundational base and nothing will impact our whatever again, which I think was the lesson that they rightly learned to protect themselves, but it's having just such a terrible impact on, you know, the ways that we're watching this show now.
It is. And I honestly, every time somebody asks me, how do you think we fix like this problem? Because I was very vocal about people saying like, oh my God, Beverly Hills is the greatest show on TV coming into this season. Greatest show. I love it so much. Oh my God. I'm like, you got to realize this past season was an anomaly. No one's going to get like sued and like have such a fall from grace again on this show, unless like, you know,
but BCC Jen Shah, anything is possible,
right? I'm about to say, I don't, you know, with Bravo,
if
you never
believe,
know,
but... right? No, 100%.
You never know, but last season was an anomaly. That was like appointment television. I had to like temper expectations, like, we're not gonna see that again. And so people ask me now, like, so how do you think going forward we fix this show? Because obviously, the Fox Sports 5 is going to get together. They're going to produce. They're going to gaslight. It's going to be more of them. They're going to make the others like appear as if they have no idea what they're talking about or what they're doing, as if they're wrong in every situation. And the only thing I honestly can think of, I think at least half of them have to go. Not half of the Housewives, but half of the Fox Sports 5.
Wow.
At least. I think at least they have to bring in maybe some new... I'm okay with new people coming in, like, I don't know, whoever comes in, but... at least that way, if they do like get them in the Fox Sports 5, these new people, I think that they at least stand a chance of befriending the other girls too, to where it won't be such a, oh no, I'm with you, and no matter what Garcelle, Sutton, Crystal, Kathy, Cherie try to say to me, I'm on your team no matter what. And so I feel like they need more, This is going to be a wild statement, so just bear with me.
Okay, I'm here.
I feel like they need, like, a West Coast version, but a variation of, like, a Jennifer Aiden, a housewife that has nothing to lose, so who will do anything, but one that is willing to go between the groups, not stick firmly on one side, but is actually willing to form friendships with whoever and let conflict arise naturally. I love a housewife that has nothing to lose. That's my favorite kind of new housewife that comes in and she's willing to, like, throw it all out there and they're like, whoa, grenades everywhere, what is happening? Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, okay, you're the love of my life, I love you, you're my new favorite, you're in my top 10 now. So I'm a weird Jennifer Aiden fan. I do love this past season a little weird because she was kind of, you know, she was on the defensive a lot,
right. Yeah, there was a lot going little, on marriage stuff, a
lot on, yeah. And but I they need a, not necessarily a Jennifer Aiden, but they need some more impartial people that I think the Fox Sports 5 is kind of hindering them so much on this show, to where it's becoming overproduced in a way that our favorite kind of conflict as Housewives fans are the ones, they might even be petty, might be petty arguments or petty conflict, but they arise naturally. They arise because, like, we can relate to stuff like, mm-hmm. I don't know why this example comes to my head, but I think about when Sonia, when they went to pick her up and she had them waiting in the foyer of her house and would not let them in.
Oh, like, my God.
Such a random scene, but like...
No, but an iconic delay. Yes. An iconic delay. Yeah.
So, like, such a petty scene, though, but, like, mm-hmm. you still find yourself being like, oh, no, that's wrong. No, Sonia, don't do that. They came to your house. They came to... You know, like, you still firmly take a stance, but it's not to where... you have to be like, okay, what are we even watching anymore? Like, this almost feels like I'm watching, like, I was going to say Industry on HBO, but I know how you feel about
that
show.
We have a difference of opinion. opinion.
Yes.
I feel like I'm being punished enough with BH right now. I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm tapping out.
It feels like we're watching something super scripted also.
Oh my God.
But I hear you. And it's also, it's tough. Danny Pellegrino tweeted something that I'm absolutely going to fuck up, but it's something along the lines of like, what BH is getting wrong now is the ways that conflict resolution and alliances can change so easily with, a little bit of a je ne sais quoi, chic, c'est la vie on Atlanta. The way that Kenya can get into an argument with someone and you can still see bonding and furthering of story, the way that you see that with Lou and with Sonia, and we're not getting that on BH. It's either that they are unwilling to or unable to, and it's like, does it matter? Does the difference matter, unwilling or unable, if the story is not moving forward?
Perfect example. You obviously, Candy and Kenya, amazing friends. We know that they're a unit. They love each other.
Yes.
But Candy and Kenya will get into it if one of them feels like the other one is wrong. They have no issue with that. That's what's lacking on Beverly Hills. I'm okay with y'all being like obviously this close little group, but when it gets to the point where you're unwilling to call out your friends wrong, that's where it becomes weird to me. Candy and Kenya had a whole blowout at a candle making event because they felt like vibrating panties and Broadway and bicycle, like it was a lot. So I love the fact that they can call each other out and still like the next day go out to dinner and just like put it behind them. That's what they need on the West Coast.
Conversely, what Marlo tried to do on Atlanta this week, which was to just sort of be like, we're cool now, didn't work out because it didn't feel artificial. So it's not just about like moving on for the sake of moving on. There needs to be a sense of groundedness in the ways that people either take responsibility for their behavior or not. And if there's no groundedness, and that's just, again, the archetype that you're playing, the kind of person that you are, the ways that you've decided to navigate Housewives, and that is what it is. But on Beverly Hills, it's like they're not even taking that step, or if they are, it just feels incredibly fumbled.
I'm glad you said that. Is an amazing point, because like if Marlo was like arguing about like vibrating panties with Candy, they probably could have like gotten right past it the next day. But Marlo will always go like 17 steps too far.
Yeah.
Will bring up parents, children, like everybody, and then just expect to like move on the next day. It's like, I'm not okay with you right now. This is going to take a while. We're not just going to move past that. Like, you didn't just call my mom, or, you know, you didn't just say this about my kids or something like that. Not going to happen. Sorry.
And what was Todd was like, we just need to like, I forget, he didn't even say like shut the fuck up, but it was like some kind of like innocuous like we need to move forward. And then Marlo chose that moment to say don't swear at me. I was thinking to myself, are you out of your fucking mind? This man is giving you so much grace and you're focusing on a swear word. Do you remember what you said to and about this man not even 24 hours before? What the fuck?
Marlo, I can't help but to be so entertained by Marlo, because it feels like Marlo is literally on another planet, and her like whole belief system is so founded in other things that aren't ours that it's where like I love like literally none of ours.
Oh God.
And I love that my favorite moments were like on this past episode was like her like explaining her point of view to Manietta, and Manietta just kind of sitting there like, it's like, Marlo, nobody agrees with you. Like, that's not gonna happen, but I applaud you for trying anyway. Oh boy.
How do you think the reunion is gonna work for Marlo?
Ooh, I think it's gonna be a fun time for the viewers, is what I think.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think this reunion is going to be amazing. Last season, I felt like Portia and Kenya both were trying to be so civil the entire time. They both want to appear to be the bigger person, to where like a lot of stuff fell flat at their reunion. And it really didn't get like amped up until like all of the 27 friends that were on the show came out to join the cast. But this time there have been, this is why like this season of Atlanta, I feel like was so good, because if you think back to like where it began and where it is now, there have been so many different arguments amongst the cast. Like, we started off Drew and Sheree. Now they seem to be okay. Drew and Sanya, they seem to be okay. Sheree and Candy, they seem to, you know, it's like it's so much stuff to where they're watching these episodes and they're tweeting live and it seems like they're still mad about it. So they're going to go into this reunion. Atlanta is very good about Atlanta in general, because Married to Medicine too, that cast is very good about receipts. Oof. We love receipts. Yes. And they are the best with like pulling up old tweets out of their phones. Like, they, I feel like if Kenya's like me, she has a section in her phone that's like titled like receipts or something like that. And she just saves things in there all day to where she can come back like, well, you actually said on this day and this time, and she can go, you know, go about it and attack whoever. So this reunion, I think that Marlo is going to, this sounds so dumb, but she's going to be forced to go below the belt because she verbally cannot keep up with a Kenya. Kenya, her like style of fighting is to like wrap you under the table with her vocabulary, her quick wit and everything. And Marlo is just like, well, I hate your mom. And it's like, oh, okay, that's not nice. But, you know, still, let's leave my mom out of it. And let's get to back to the actual issue. She gets good zingers in there, but Marlo's going to have to, I don't know, she's going to have to really come prepared. Like, I don't think she's been prepared on this show since probably that season 4 reunion when her and Candy got into it very badly. Were you always watching, weren't you?
Oh yeah, I've seen every episode of every season at least twice, minus the forgotten season of Orange County.
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah. yeah, we don't speak about those.
We don't speak about it. It's a lost season. Lost to the world.
That season 4 reunion, I think it was Marlo's first season. So they've literally been having this argument for a decade now. But that first season where like Candy was like, no, I just think Marlo, you know, I feel like she was trying to egg up the drama between me and Kim because, you know, she's saying, she kept saying Big Papa, Big Papa. And she was trying to say that to get me mad at Kim. And then Marlo just out of the blue comes out of there, well, don't you have a new boyfriend that your mom hates and he drives your car and he has to live with you because he didn't have his own house? And it's like, whoa, like, where did all that, that seems like tomato, tomato, like, what are we doing? Like, that seems like leagues away from each other. So, like, Marlo always comes in hot, but I don't know with, Kenya wasn't on the show back then, so I don't know if she'll be able to, I think we've seen Marlo lose every reunion tiff she's had with Kenya, so she'll have to really come prepared to this one.
And I wonder what preparation looks like for Marlo. I think for her, right, it really is just coming as low as humanly possible and then saying, well, you deserved it because you got me mad.
Exactly. I don't know what her, because I feel like the Kenya might not have to do as much prep work, but I feel like she still likes to go through the season, examine it with a fine-tuned comb and like pick out tweets and everything, because she's the one, she's really good for saying like, well, if that's the case, then you wouldn't have tweeted that so-and-so, and like say it word for word. So Marlo has to do her homework. Like, she needs to go to like Harvard Law for like a semester, like take the L Woods route, and like she's got to figure it out, because I don't know what we're gonna do after that.
I mean, not just Marlo, but her new best friend Sanya. That moment of like, prove it. I'm gonna need to take a second. No, you can't do that with Kenya. Kenya's being nice in this moment, sweetie. She's giving you the opportunity to potentially drag her because she knows and everybody else knows it, that's not going to happen, but she's still offering you the opportunity. I mean, it's like a relay, but she's just tripping. My goodness.
I don't know what it is about. I don't know if this makes Sanya a bad housewife or a fantastic housewife with how badly she articulates herself sometimes with her points, because you take it all the way back to like when her and Drew were into it. Drew constantly had to tell her like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't remember any of this. Like, what are you saying? Like, how is this manifesting? To the point where fans were almost like, they almost completely turned on Sanya and were on Team Drew because they felt like it got to a point where she couldn't articulate herself and she was almost like wanting to have beef with Drew for no reason. And so it was like, okay, I'm Team Drew no matter what now. So she's her and Marlo. Oh boy, maybe Sheree too. Honestly, Sheree at least gives good reads and good shade, so she'll probably be okay. But they gotta, you know, Sheree, sometimes her memory, she actually, she don't remember a lot of the stuff that happened or tweeted or said or something. So maybe that whole like left couch, I don't know what, you know, I'm assuming they all sit together, but who knows. But that whole like alliance might need to double back a few times and maybe watch a couple more episodes and do a little homework. We're gonna assigned reading, that's what we'll do. We're gonna give them some assigned reading to do for this reunion. I hate that they've already shot it, because we could have maybe slid in their DMs and said, hey, I can help you out if you need a little help, you know.
I feel like with Sonya, though, there's something about her that I really enjoy, where it's...
Same.
I don't know. I like her on the show. I don't know how I feel about her when it comes to, like, some of these conflicts. And I do think it's really odd that she's so closely aligned with Marlo, of all people. But, like...
A choice.
Okay. It's a choice. But also, I'm glad that she's there. I really am. I'm glad that she's a housewife.
I love... So, I went on a rant, on which isn't uncommon if you follow me. But I went on a rant... recently, let me just say, I love this whole cast. I think this is a phenomenal cast. Add someone if you want to, perfectly fine with me, but I like this iteration. I feel like everyone on this show is value added. I see exactly what they contribute. I love it. I feel like Candy is having one of her best seasons, which she's been on here since season 2.
Oh,
that's
God.
Hard to say. I feel like this is definitely one of her best seasons.
Wow,
so
wow.
The girl, I love it all. I say that to say, this cast, people sometimes kind of make it seem like because they don't agree with someone, they need to be fired solely for that reason. And so, like, people were saying, like, oh my God, Marlo is the biggest flop. Or they'll say, like, Sanya is the biggest flop. Like, why did they become housewives? I don't get it. What's going on? What's happening? And I'm like, I might not be on a housewives team, but I definitely can say where you add value. And I think everyone on this cast adds value. So like, root for Marlo or Sanya being fired makes no sense to me, because this has been a great season. Like, especially compared to last season, I feel like this has been, like, leaps and bounds better. Like, we're getting back to, like, it feels fresh, but it also feels, like, super nostalgic, too. Mm-hmm. And I like the way it feels. So to root against, like, to actively root for people to get fired just because you don't like that they're, like, feuding with Candy or Kenya, it's weird, because it's also, you have to realize that they're helping to bring out the best in the housewives that you love. Like,
there you go.
We're seeing them at their best. So why remove those factors and then almost, like, take your favorites down a notch in a way?
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
That's such a good point. The idea that you're bringing out the best at this person who you might not like because they're not on the side of whomever you stand, but they're actually bringing out the best of that person is incredibly, I think that's a really important perspective. Like, and it's a difference than, like, respect your villain. It's the idea that you're actually, this person is actually helping directly or otherwise the person who you have, you know, in your favor, the person that you favor on the cast. I think that's incredibly important. That's a great perspective.
Thank you. People just need to, like, I just say, before you root against someone, make sure that they're not, like, actively, like, I can make the case that a couple of Beverly Hills housewives aren't necessarily adding value to the show, but I feel like everyone in Atlanta is really doing their job. Like, this has been a great season. Everyone is kind of like, everyone's showing up. We don't have people, like, one of my pet peeves with housewives is when people feel like they get to a point where they just feel like, whether or not I come to this event won't matter. I don't really need to do this. I don't need to participate in that. I'm too above this. Then I'm like, okay, you've got to get out of here, because now what are you doing for the show? And so I feel like no one on the show is at that level. They still always participate. I feel like when Kenya does it, she does it to get a rise out of the other girls. And then she ends up showing up anyway. Like, her not staying, what, at Marlo's house in, what was it, Blue Ridge or whatever?
Bluestone. No, it's like Bluestone Manor. That's not Bluestone. It. Blue Ridge Mountains.
Yes.
So there are mountains and they're blue. Something with another word is there. Yeah.
I love that, like, she wouldn't stay. She refused to stay with them the first night, but then she just, like, shows up with all of her bags the next night and still wouldn't talk to Marlo. I'm like, that isn't Kenya being, like, a diva. That's literally her purposely trying to get under Marlo's skin because she knows she can. And then running from her and having Marlo chase is so ridiculous, but it's like mission accomplished because she did exactly everything that Kenya wanted her to do.
Absolutely. And it's petty and it's manipulative and it's kind of good TV. So, yes. I mean, how pissed can I like be, guys? I like it too. Listen, you are welcome back on AG anytime. We've talked about this before offline. And I just want to say as a public service announcement that, guys, the newest episode of Married to Medicine, if you are not watching Married to Medicine, you need to get on this train now. The episode that just came out this week, to me, one of the strongest episodes of any show on Bravo, on reality TV this year. And that's going to stand the test of time in whatever the fuck month we're in, allegedly August through December 31. I'm telling you, if you guys like storytelling, if you're unhappy or you're enjoying BH, if you are unhappy or you're enjoying Atlanta, if you are technically, raising your hand in class for Dubai, you just got to watch Married to Medicine. It's giving absolutely everything on every level. It's impeccable storytelling.
Can I say one thing before we wrap up? Absolutely. I literally...
Absolutely. As bless you. Excuse me. Oh, my goodness.
Bless you. I literally, for all of you that don't watch Married to Medicine, I feel... I'm jealous of you that you get to go back and start from the beginning.
Oh, my God.
And binge this show. Like, that is going to be one of the best binges of your life. Married to Medicine... I always call it Bravo's best show because I need people to realize it's the best show on Bravo.
Hands down.
Oh my God. I'm the biggest Mariah Hook fan. You don't realize Mariah Hook makes me laugh. I love.
Whoa.
Yeah, are you a quad girl?
I'm a Dr. Simone apologist. I love everything about her. She's in my top five and she's not a housewife. She's in my housewife's top five.
I have a folder on my phone that like I keep like random clips and memes and stuff in, you know, content creator. You know, we all have one. And I have about probably 10 different Simone laughing clips in there just for a moment. Good. Like
I
feel like nature heals every time she laughs somewhere. I don't know what it is, but it's just it's a warm hug from mom is what it is.
Yes. Oh my God, guys, if you're not watching, write yourself a prescription. And I say, and I'm assuming if you're a Mariah stan that you agree with this, you got to start with season one.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to do it. You got to do it.
And you got to do it. You know, it's a great show because the cast, the core cast has barely changed since this show has started. So that tells you something right there. Go watch it. Go watch
it,
people.
It's giving Potomac in the sense of look at how many OGs are not only still in the cast, but necessary and integral to the continued success of the show. And the fact that Married to Medicine, there are so many OGs who are still a part and OGs who return and do so like incredibly smoothly. Like the transition to getting Quad back full time was, I thought, really strong and really smart, and I'm so glad she's there. But and then you've got your spiritual OGs. Dr. Heavenly, to me, one of the strongest mid-franchise casting choices of any show on Bravo. Regardless of how you feel, she's incredible television. Incredible television.
I was anti-Heavenly for a few seasons just because
I get it.
She was always in conflict with Mariah, who was my favorite. Love Mariah, but never have I denied Heavenly is amazing TV. Heavenly is one of the funniest people on Bravo. The fact that they had a whole intervention for her and she laughed at every clip that they played, I was like, oh, Heavenly. Only Heavenly would laugh while these people are truly hurting about the things that she's saying about them.
Kendrick, you're gonna see that full circle when you see the new episode because she talks about the pain underneath the laughter. When I saw like the teaser for this week's episode, I was like, oh, okay, got it. But I didn't believe her totally when she has like a moment of apologizing to Contessa. But when she opens up about her childhood, I'm telling you, it's very impactful.
I'm ready.
Okay, Okay, you're coming back. We need to talk about Married to Medicine when that happens, because I can't get enough. Tell the EGs a little bit about your podcast and where to follow you on social.
Absolutely. So, hi everyone. I'm Kendrick Tucker, obviously, and I have a podcast called Reality and Comics 2 because I talk all things scripted and unscripted TV. So, my main episode every week is usually reality TV focused. So, I'm that person that loves all Real Housewives. I watch every, I watch every franchise. Mm-hmm. Love Love Island. I love OWN Network's reality shows like Bell Collective, Love and Marriage, Huntsville, and DC, you know, where Monique Samuels lives now. I watch all of those things. I also have a strong emphasis for I love Marvel. So usually my bonus episode is something scripted, usually one of the like new Marvel shows, movies, or I might talk about, you know, one of my shows like Industry that, you know, Sarah.
I'm not a fan. Someone needs to be. Someone needs to speak on behalf of the industry.
I hold it down.
You're holding it down.
Y'all can find me anywhere you find, probably anywhere you find Andy's Girls. You can find me there. Apple, Spotify, Google, everywhere. Reality and Comics 2. Also find me on Instagram at Reality Comics 2, T-O-O. Come for the memes. Stay for the rants and the stories.
And you are, I have to say, a great follow. Thank you. I really do. I love As your are you. Social. Thank you. And guys, you should be following us both. Dame Valley on Instagram. And listen, a new Satchel Spectacular is going up on the EG Patreon. The number one way to support the pod. You get exclusive bonus episodes and so much more. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. I want to know your thoughts on all things Beverly Hills, Atlanta, Dubai, Married to Medicine, and so much more. So slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley. Shoot me an email with a long form satchel of gold for the upcoming Patreon Satchel Spectacular, andysgirlsshow@gmail.com, and let me know your thoughts and feels, because I want to include it, celebrate it, explore it, disagree with it, unpack it all on an upcoming Patreon ep. Thank you so much, Kendrick, for coming on EG. This was a total delight, honestly.
Thank you. I feel like you've unlocked the portion of my brain, because I do comedy mostly on mine, so it's good to actually use my vocabulary sometimes, which I don't do often, so this was great.
Well, I love that, and this was such a light, because I'm going to tell you, you've been seeing on my social, I was very traumatized
from
my experience, thinking that I could hear a bird being literally murdered by my pigeon unit. So I just want to say, as an ally to the pigeon community, I'm so glad that that fucking bird is okay, even though it did absolutely fuck with me for a full. I was traumatized, and not just because I got to watch and remember why the cast hated Denise. But guys, I hope you are all doing okay and enjoyed this episode as much as I did. And we will chat with you soon. Bye bye.